Good morning. Morning. On this Sunday following our nation's celebration of independence, we are grateful you have come to worship Almighty God, who continues to bless our land in countless ways. Welcome. Welcome. My name is Jeff Redeman, and I am a member of the Church Council. Welcome to Zion UCC. We are a faith community that seeks to learn, serve, and grow in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We extend a special welcome to those of you who worship with us through radio broadcasts on KCHK Radio, and to all who join us online through our website, ZionLeSueur.com. If you are visiting Zion today, please sign the guest card found in front of your pews and put it in the offering plate. Finally, please fill out prayer requests with your joys and concerns and turn it into the ushers during the passing of the peace. Sponsor for radio broadcast this morning is Leroy Haas in memory of Carol. The bulletins are sponsored by Zion members and friends. Thank you to all who give to this ministry. The message this morning is titled Welcome by Pastor Bob. Save the date, Wednesday, July 29th for Summerfest. Plan to attend to enjoy food, music, kids' activities, and shopping. The indoor home goods sale, 5 to 7 p.m. Menu is burgers, hot dogs, chips, baked beans, desserts, and beverages. In conjunction with the Zion Summerfest taking place on July 29th, we are excited to host a home goods sale. The market will feature delicious food, unique crafts, beautiful homemade items like soaps and candles. If you have a creation that fits the summer vibe, we want to showcase it. Just bring your items that morning, and our committee members will handle the pricing for you. Come help with Giant Day's parade food collection on Sunday, August 3rd. First Lutheran and Pastor Sam have invited Zion UCC to help collect food and monetary donations for the food shelf during the Giant Day's parade. Last year we collected over 400 pounds of food and more than $300 by marching in the parade. We are looking for volunteers to walk in the parade with a bucket to collect canned, shelf-stable food for our community as we march. If you are interested in joining Pastor Sana on the parade, please email, call, or sign up in the front office. The Upper Room is available. The July-August edition of the Upper Room is available and can be picked up. They are on the rack near the entry. Please take a copy. Thank you to the landscaping volunteers for the work that was completed this week. We deeply appreciate your time, energy, and dedication for the work you did. And we are taking donations towards future projects. Your financial support of the radio broadcast in any amount helps keep the worship services available to those who are unable to attend worship in person. Now let us prepare for worship.
We've always been taught to believe in God. Believe with all your heart. Believe with all your soul. And when somebody told me that, while we are told all the time to believe in God, no one has ever told me that God believes in me. And that has stayed with me for decades. That God believes in me more than I believe in God. That God has faith in me more than I have faith in God. And as profound as it was when I first heard it, I realized this is actually how God seems to work all throughout the Bible. God keeps entrusting extraordinary things to ordinary people. Take Abraham. Abraham lied twice about his wife being his sister, giving her away so that his life could be spared. Moses was a hot-tempered murderer who used his speech impediment to try to get out of what God was calling him to do. David, bless his heart, broke commandments 5 through 10 in one fell swoop. And Peter suffers from what I like to call constant foot and mouth syndrome. But the other disciples didn't fare that much better. They constantly misunderstood Jesus. They argued with each other and deserts Jesus in his greatest time of need. At least the male disciples do. And yet, Jesus still says, whoever welcomes you, welcomes me. Jesus doesn't just send the disciples, he identifies himself with them. When people encounter the disciples, Jesus says they are also encountering him. That is an astonishing amount of trust. And Jesus knows exactly who he's choosing. Which means the only person still questioning whether you're enough is probably you. So maybe it's time to believe what God already believes about you.
Good morning, Zion. May the peace and grace of God be with you. And also with you. Thank you. So I realized people who listen, I had a friend listen for the first time to our service on the radio, and she's like, who's that first person speaking? And so usually we have a video, for those that are listening, we have a video with an opening reflection, and that particular video, Brian didn't know this, but I follow this pastor. Brian selected it. It's Pastor Yo. He is a pastor in Texas. He talks really fast. We probably should have seen the video twice or slowed it down, right? But it is a great opening reflection. In worship, we are invited to bring our entire selves, our entire being, together with this community of faith into the presence of God. All that we are, our hopes, our dreams, our regrets, our sins, our joys, our memories, our relationships, our passions, our indifference, comes together in the communion with God's people to be enveloped by grace, bound together in community, and nourished to renew our faith. Here, as citizens of God's divine realm, we find freedom in Christ. Let us prepare for worship by closing our eyes, if you feel you can, and taking three deep breaths with me. God, we invite your spirit here this morning, fall afresh on us. Open our hearts and prepare our ears to hear from you. Amen.
Jesus said that whoever welcomes one of his followers welcomes Jesus himself.
Turn to the person beside you and say, welcome to our worship.
Welcome to our worship. Whoever welcomes Jesus also welcomes God.
Turn to someone else and welcome them.
Whoever offers even a cup of cold water to one of God's children will be blessed by God.
All are welcome here.
Let us worship God.
Please rise for the opening hymn, Spirit, Spirit of Gentleness. Merciful God, we call you Lord, yet it is so easy. Did I skip forward? Yes, I did. Thank you. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song.
Sing to the Lord all the earth.
Declare God's glory among the nations. Say among the nations, the Lord is sovereign.
God will judge the people with equity.
Let us worship God. You may be seated. Please join me for the song of praise, O Jesus, I Have Promised, number 493. Join me in the prayer of confession. Merciful God, we call you Lord, yet it is too easy for us to worship other things, other activities, other relationships, other gods. You tell us we cannot have served two masters, yet we spend more time focusing our energies elsewhere, diverting our time, our energy, and our attention away from you. Forgive us, gracious God, when our hearts are led astray, when we serve other gods and worship them. We turn away from our distractions and from sin. Strengthen us to set our faces towards all that is good and holy, to take up our cross and follow you. We pray this, counting on your grace. It's not money, but our generosity with it. It's not power, but our willingness to humble ourselves. It's not our efforts, but our willingness to be molded, which transforms us into God's children. It is more than just how we think. Through God's mercy and grace, our hearts and our lives are transfigured and made new. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you.
said to his disciples, "Peace I leave with you, and peace I give you. May the peace of the Lord always be with you."
And also with you.
Let us pass the peace with one another. Okay, so we're going to use the bells. For those who have bells, ring them whenever we say ring the bells or ring for freedom. So you have to listen, okay? All right. So ring the bells for freedom. Ring for hope. Ring the dream of our forebears and liberation of our children. Ring the bells. All. Ring the bells for those who have fallen in the name of the dream, those who held the candle on the shore, inviting more, the city on the hill built to demonstrate the way. Ring the bells. Ring the bells for those who came and those who come seeking the dream, the tired, the poor, the huddled masses, yearning to breathe free. Ring the bells. Ring the bells for dreams deferred, placed asunder and left to wander. Ring the bells for freedom has been distant. Ring to witness the stony road, the bitter rod, the moments where hope couldn't be. Ring with the harmonies of liberty. Ring the bells. Ring the bells for those who were here before the colonies. Ring the bells for the neighbors who were not asked, not invited, and not included in the dream. Ring the bells until the dream is wide enough to hold them all. Ring the bells. Ring for those who don't know freedom today, those incarcerated in internment camps or confined without consent. Ring for the hope that there will be a day when all people are free. Ring the bells for freedom. Ring for those who fought and continue to fight for our freedom. ring for those who paid a price beyond comparison for the lives we lead today. Ring the bells in honor and witness. Ring the bells for those who love this country enough to tell the truth about it. Those who fight for the dignity of all, the future for who we can be, with liberty and justice for all, where all may be free. Ring the bells of freedom. Ring the bell that we may hold these truths to be self-evident, that all people are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Ring the bells. Then we may join together because our faith to ring the bells and work for liberation in the footsteps of those who came before, holding the wide welcome, loving our neighbors, and following Jesus Christ in the best way we know how. Ring the bells! Thank you.
Good morning. Our reading this morning is from Psalm 145, verses 8 through 14. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his compassion is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your faithful shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to all people your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and gracious in all his deeds. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. May God add a blessing to the reading and hearing of the Holy Word. Amen.
The gospel reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, the 10th chapter, 40 to 42. Jesus said to the 12, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes us and welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. And whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of those will lose their reward." This is the gospel of the Lord. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. On April 26th of this year, I joined with 20 others from the Minnesota Conference of the United Church of Christ on a trip to Ireland, and in particular, Northern Ireland. It was a sobering, rewarding, and enjoyable experience. And the scripture that I just read played in my mind as I reflected upon what that trip was about. The scripture speaks of how we as brothers and sisters are to welcome and to treat one another so we are able to get along and care for those in need. And a major part of the trip was learning about the peace movement of Northern Ireland and about that process of mediation to peace. Let me tell you about the troubles of Northern Ireland. It started over 800 years ago when England conquered Ireland. During that whole time, it was rather tumultuous because the Irish people were not treated as equals, but as really second-class citizens. And in particular, in Northern Ireland, the six counties in the northeast part of Ireland, the English brought over folks from Scotland, and they chased off the owners of the land in that part of Ireland and gave it to the Scots. They became the new landowners. And actually, by the time Northern Ireland was recognized as separated from Ireland, instead of maybe 190% of the land being owned by Irish, only 7% were owned by Irish. And those Irish also happened to be Catholic. They lost their land. It was given away by a foreign power. Kind of reminds me of something that's been going on in this part of the time and world. It's called Palestine. You see, probably if we were the Irish who were kicked out of our places where we lived and raised families and farmed, we probably would get upset. Doggone it, we would rebel. That's what we did back in about 250 years ago. And life for those Irish Catholics, because they became second-class citizen, it got to a point during that period of time they could not even attend Mass. And if they did, it had to be out in the countryside, and maybe a big, huge stone was the altar. How do you think you might respond? Well, Irish did continue to rebel against England, for Ireland was the first really colony ever of England as it created its empire. And not until in the late 1920s to 30s did Ireland become a independent free state, except for the six counties in the northeast, which were predominantly loyal to the crown and were part of the Church of England, a Protestant church. Well, because of being second-class citizen, they also then didn't have the opportunity, young men, for jobs or for housing. They were discriminated against. And about in this period of time, in the 60s or so, there was something going on in this country about civil liberties and rights. And that encouraged the Irish Catholics who were in Northern Ireland to seek to have more equal treatment. And so there were such things as what was called the Apprentice Boys March. It happened in Derry, Ireland, a part of Northern Ireland. And it was such that they marched, and in one particular one of those marches, there had been a number of problems which the police were having a hard time keeping control. And so what did the government do? But they brought in the military, the soldiers. What are soldiers taught to do? Shoot, kill. On Bloody Sunday, in the late 60s, 70s. There was a march. And machine gun fire went out. Thirteen people were killed, many hurt, and now the trouble really escalated for the next 2 decades. And it didn't only end up being Catholics against Protestant. It also became Catholics against Catholics. We think about suicide bombers. An Irish Catholic walked into a fish market of a Protestant with 10 people in it. What do? If you're the other side, you get a van with 10 Catholics. This went on for over 2 decades. And they built walls around different neighborhoods for protection to keep others out who were not like them. I can remember walking on one of those walls, which was about a half mile long. And as I did, I could not help but to think of the Stations of Christ and how Christ must, tears coming out of his eyes at what his people who profess in him were doing. I had dinner one night with a lady. She and her husband were both Catholics. She's now part of the peace movement. She told how they had 3 kids. And, of course, you have to have money to eat and feed your kids. And so he went to work as a cook in a Irish Republican internment camp of the government. And so doing, he was considered a traitor. And so one night, people with masks came, got him, put him in the van, handcuffed him to the steering wheel, filled it with explosives, and headed to a checkpoint where there were 6 soldiers. Kaboom! When it hit. She said, you know, if those same mass people came to my house today, I would give them coffee. But I couldn't forgive them. I kind of think maybe she has, as part of the process to peace, because she has been working for peace in the last 30 years. And that's when 30 years ago, finally a temporary peace, which has now become pretty permanent there in Northern Ireland, when 2 Catholic priests and Protestant clergy who knew one another, trusted one another, got on the Catholic priest to bring the head of the Irish Republican Army, on the Protestant side, the head of the government, to secretly meet at a church which was right at one of those borders dividing neighborhoods, to meet and sit down for a table. And they said, this has got to stop. Somewhere between 2,000 and 3,000 people had been killed. 300 of them had been, these soldiers are police officers. And together, they worked, along with others, to bring about a temporary peace about 30 years ago, which seems to become pretty permanent, which predicated upon equal opportunity in work, equal opportunity in housing. The road to peace, which they followed, is one which first has three elements. It's called truth, mercy, justice, and that leads to peace. Truth, finally, the British government admitted that it was the nervousness of the soldiers who had killed those people on that bloody Sunday that had been scared, not the rioters or the protesters, as has been told before. And mercy? Mercy is this woman has not maybe been had husband killed. She maybe can't forget, but you have to have mercy. You have to be able to forgive and to move on. The past cannot be taken away. Only the future is ours. And then justice. It has to be for everybody, not just for me or you, but everybody, in order to come to peace. As the scripture says, whoever truly welcomes Christ in their lives and lives the truth as he, has mercy as he, seeks justice as he, then you will have the peace of Christ and his reward. How well are we on that road of life as we deal with one another? And on this 250th day after the birthday of this nation, how well are we on the road to peace? By speaking about the truth, which sometimes may hurt, about our goodness and the things we've done wrong, about our mercy, of realizing we can't change the things of the past, but we can shape the future. And by being fair and justice equally, not just for a few, but for all, that is the only way to peace. It is the way of Christ. And the question I pose to you and to me, what kind of grade would God be giving us today in our lives, individually, in the life of the church, and in the life of the nation? For Jesus calls us to practice a ministry of hospitality, of welcoming everyday people in our lives, and not just say it, but do it. And then what about this aspect of the scripture of giving a cold water? I read of a story. It's from a book entitled, What's So Amazing About Grace? See, this couple had planned a lavish wedding. And it was in Boston is where it was going to happen. And it was going to be at the Hyatt Hotel. And it seemed everything was going along all right until finally the groom kind of was saying, you know, maybe we shouldn't be rushing into this as much as we should. And maybe he was getting a bad case of cold feet or something. And he told his fiancée. And finally, she kind of knew what he really meant. And so they canceled their engagement. Well, see, they already had paid a significant down payment for this event to happen. And so the bride, she went to the event planner of the hotel and explained the situation, and this event planner understood because this had happened to her some years ago. And, well, the event planner said, you really have only two options. One, she said, you could either forfeit the rest of the event, the money, or you could go ahead with the party. Now, which one would you choose? Well, it seemed a little crazy, but the jilted bride thought about it, and the more she kind of liked the idea of going ahead with a party, definitely not a wedding party, but a banquet party. And she also decided, because years before she had been homeless herself, but she had got back on her feet, got a tremendous job, made a lot of money, and so she decided this party is going to be one where we are going to invite the homeless of our community, those at the mission houses, to come and to have a party. And we're going to maybe change the menu a little bit. She decided in honor of the groom, they would have a boneless chicken meal. And so that night, people who had dined on garbage dined on chicken cordon bleu and had a great party. Would that ever be us? You know, I'm reminded, I think there's some passage or story in the scripture about those who are invited to the table. And they were some of the least of these. What about us? This scripture asks a lot of us. It asks us to welcome others in peace, to share the truth, to share mercy, seek justice in order to have peace. And if we have peace, it means also we care about all those around us, even the least of these, to give a cold water. I don't know about you, but I guess to know about me, I probably have some work to do. Do you? Let us pray. Lord, help us to open ourselves to your grace so that we may offer ourselves to be used as tools in your hand. The world is full of so much division, so much hurt, and so much pain. Wars are raging, people are dying, children are sick. And too often, your struggling church is terrified at the enormity of it all and held captive by the chaos. We are tired. We are lonely. Surely there is nothing we can do on our own to overcome such darkness. Still, you do not withhold your love from us, but lavish your grace and mercy throughout our lives. So grant us the courage to seek new life, to reach out to the lost, to comfort the sick and the dying, to commune with the unlovable. For in this way, we are given life, and we fulfill your scripture, which leads to peace. Amen. Because the sermon and my experience was very moving, I did not want to share this particular story, but it's a little bit more lighthearted of my experience in North Ireland, in Ireland. You may be aware that there's a number of pubs in Northern Ireland. I visited a few prior to get just the general culture of the people. Also that a very well-known Irish beer is Guinness. You know, I've never liked Guinness in this country because, you know, you always get this big foam, you know, when you pour it. Well, those Irish know how to pour Guinness, let me tell you. They just get that much foam when they get through with it. And so it also is such when you go in these pubs, they have give you glasses, and when you get the Guinness, about that far down is the word Guinness etched in the glass. And the aspect of that is that you're supposed to take your first gulp and get as close as you can to the top of that etching. Well, this group I was with was such that there was several that were in the upper 20s, and I was the oldest of the group. And so those two young bucks challenged me to this contest. I got it right on the line. I think I'll remember that always. Thanks be to God.
Gives gifts beyond measure or comparison. God gives with abundance and generosity. God has provided for every need and invites us to ensure equitable, faithful, and mutual sharing so that no one needs to experience a lack of resources. Let us give from the well of abundance to honor God's faithfulness and to demonstrate trust in God's provision. thank you for the privilege of giving. Bless these gifts and those who give. Enable us to trust and participate in your abundance. Extend wisdom and discernment as we allocate these offerings. Expand our reach and impact for your kingdom and glory. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and good to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. Let us pray. Blessed are you, Creator of the universe, for you have made all things and called them good. Earth, sea, sky, every tree and bird, each seed sprouting, every firefly twinkling, and every drop of precious water is a witness to your grace. We give you thanks this day for your generosity, for you are the giver of every good gift. Today we especially give thanks for the gift of freedom, for those who have worked and sacrificed to honor that gift, and for the many privileges we enjoy in this place. We thank you for the gift of this community, the gift of curious minds, the privilege of learning and teaching. We thank you for Christ Jesus, who became flesh and lived among us in order that we may know the gift of your abundant life right here in these bodies, right here in this body. When we forget that all we have, from every tiny bone in our body to every big cathedral, call us back to your truth. When we are tempted by the siren song and individual independence, remind us that we are but one part of your body on earth. When we separate this earth from your spirit, give us eyes to see and ears to hear your breath in every heartbeat, every gust of wind, every creaking joint, and every neighbor's laughter and enemy's tear. We hold you in your light, those who live in fear, those who live with violence, and those who live under oppression. We remember your people in Gaza, Iran, Myanmar, Congo, Somalia, in Chicago, Los Angeles, and in the homes of our own neighborhood. As we gather at this table, we remember that many are hungry. As we share the cup together, we remember that many are thirsty. May the day come soon when there be enough water and food for all. May the day come soon when justice and peace takes the place of violence. May the day come soon when your freedom may be known by all creation. Many grains come together to make bread, yet our world community is fractured. As we eat this feast, draw us together in your spirit. Make us again into your body, loving, serving, and caring for the world. We pray in the name of Jesus the Christ, who taught us how to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. On the night in which he gave himself for us, Jesus took the bread, gave thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks to you, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Drink this, all of you. This cup is the new covenant, poured out for you and for many. Do this often."